You listen to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. The Chevrolet Cruze price reduction's on right now up to $3,250. You can get leasing from only $55 bi-weekly. Dare to compare the Cruze LT versus the Civic LX or the Focus SE. Trust me, you'll pick the Cruze only at Lakewood Chev. Longtime reporter of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Saw them win 16 in a row last year. Now they're on a 9-game winning streak, probably at a little bit better time of the season. Aaron Portzline from The Athletic in Columbus joins us. And Aaron, they are definitely rolling at the right time. And suddenly the Blue Jackets, they're not fighting for a playoff spot. They're fighting for home ice advantage.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, Zach Werenski was sort of the first guy, one of the youngest guys in the room, of course. He was one of the first guys to sort of pose it that way. I think it was after four or five wins in a row. You know, we got to stop looking at the teams behind us and start looking at the teams ahead of us, which was that's pretty precocious for a young lad, but that's really the approach that they've taken now. You said nine in a row. All these guys that have just been slumping all year, the Atkinson, the Jenners, Wenberg, you know, they have awakened in a big way, and now they've joined forces with the man who's been fantastic all year. Seth Jones is out of the lineup, but he's been really good of late as well. They're starting to fire on the same cylinders that carried them so far early last season, but as you mentioned, much, much better timing this year.
So why the change now? Why are they all of a sudden getting pumped up and firing on all cylinders? Was it a change of lines? Was it something else more subtle than that?
Well, you know, I think the obvious thing right now is the trade deadline, where Jarmo Kekalainen made three moves, and none of them are just absolute, you know, top lead story type stories outside Columbus, but he gets Letestu from Edmonton. You all know him well. And he has given them options in the bottom six. He has stabilized their bottom six lines. They get Thomas Vanek in a trade from Vancouver. And people are like, oh, this guy's jumped around. He's got a reputation about it. He's been phenomenal with these guys. Scored a lot of points, scored some big goals, scored a beautiful deflection goal the other night in Boston, which was a key goal for them. And then, you know, the third piece is probably the biggest piece, Ian Cole. Pittsburgh would not have traded him directly to Columbus. So they traded him to Ottawa in a deal that brought them Derek Brassard. And then Columbus moves in to Ottawa and gets Ian Cole from Ottawa. And he has just brought a real presence about them on the back end. All three of those guys have really... they've shifted guys into better situations, better matchups just by their presence. I think they've also had a real calming effect on this young team that's starting to play in some pretty stressful games.
Well, let me bring in the conversation about Mark Letestu. I mean, his play here this year, you know, I think the whole team was under pressure, and so he was feeling it as well. But as he seemed, you know, when I watched him play a couple of times, seems rejuvenated and kind of excited, if that's the wrong word, for what he's doing and what he's obviously now part of a playoff team.
Yeah, I think the way he would say it is such a good quote is he feels like he's home again, which sounds odd because I know he's from that area, but they really grew to love it here. He bought a home here early in the season, long before he ended up here at the trade deadline. This is where they knew they were going to play when his time at Edmonton was done, or where he was going to come to live when his time at Edmonton was done. And so to be here, he said it was like 3 days, and then it was like, he never left. Just he's got the same stall back in the dressing room. There's some familiar faces around him. He's really close with Matt Calvert. And he's, you know, the penalty kill. He's out there taking face-offs, big face-offs at the end of games. He's giving them a fourth line that can also provide some scoring punch, which I think they really missed last year after Gagne and Hartnell were allowed to leave over the offseason. Like he's a Swiss Army knife. That's what he is, and they really needed a player like him.
So he's on their. Did you say he's on their power play too?
He has joined in the second unit, but mostly he's been a big presence on the penalty kill, and at times late in games taking big draws for them, but mostly fourth line.
Okay. Which, you know, what's funny, though, Letestu is very open. He goes, I'm best in a fourth-line center role. That's where I should be playing. I don't need to play any more minutes. I remember last year he talked about it. He goes, he knows where he's successful. He knows what he feels he can do as a player. And he's obviously confident he can contribute if need be. Now, Thomas Vanek, who does he fit in best with?
Well, this is just this is always fascinating to me. If they put him on a line with Alexander Wennberg and Boone Jenner, two guys that just couldn't get going this year. And when they put it together, we all dubbed it the "we don't know what the hell else to do with these guys" line. Because it's just like, who knows how this is going to work? Maybe it won't work, but here, you play with them. And my God, Wennberg has sprung to life. He's been a point-of-game guy since the trade deadline. Boone Jenner, who just couldn't score, didn't even have offensive chances for months on end. He's now popping in. I think he's got 5 goals and 11 points in 12 games since the trade deadline. That line has been huge for them, and it's starting to get a lot of offensive zone faceoffs. Vanek has been productive. He's made a lot of small but clutch plays, screening goalies, just touch plays over to keep the puck in the attack zone. All of the worries about him, thankfully, have been erased, at least for now, because he has really been a big-time contributing player for them.
We've got Aaron Portsline on the line from The Athletic, talking all things Blue Jackets, who have been on a hell of a run the last few weeks. Brandon Dubinsky, healthy scratch last night. Where does he fit in now to this puzzle that Tortorella's put together?
Yeah, the decision was made last night that he didn't fit, that they were a better team without him. In New York, Madison Square Garden against his old team. I mean, that is a healthy scratch that will resonate. Believed to be the first healthy scratch of his NHL career. It's certainly the first since he's been with the Blue Jackets. It's a problematic situation because we're talking the fourth highest paid player on the roster. He's making $5.85 million. He signed through, I think it's 19-20. Where does this go for? He's had a very difficult season. You know, if anybody can get a chip on their shoulder and push back against what has been speculated about him in terms of his career outlook here, can he get it back together? Is this league just getting too fast? Why can't he score anymore? He started the season rehabbing the wrist surgery that he had over the offseason. He had his eye socket broken, you remember, by Zach Cassian in a fight. That's a brutal injury from people who have suffered it. And maybe this is just one of those you should cross it off, and maybe this is not proof that he is on a downward slide in his career. Maybe he can push back from this one. But they really need him. He has been such a heart and soul player for them these last many years. It's hard to imagine them going into the playoffs without him being a vital part of the lineup every night. But the way it is right now, it's hard to argue with him being in there the way that he's played.
Aaron Portsline from The Athletic in Columbus joins us. Blue Jackets, winners of 9 in a row. They're now tied with Pittsburgh. And if the Blue Jackets play the Penguins, everybody has seen the rivalry the past few years. Dubinsky's one of those guys that can seemingly get under Crosby's skin. They've dropped the mitts, and, you know, away you go. Right now, it almost seems like they're kind of destined to meet in the first round unless one of them can catch Washington. And does that scare Columbus because it's the two-time defending champs? Like, is that just the worst possible matchup for this team, or do you think they're better prepared to beat them?
Well, I think the fan base is like, oh, God, anybody but Pittsburgh. Honestly, I think there's some people like, you know, if we're going to do that, let's just not even make the playoffs because I can't freaking take it anymore. Because Pittsburgh's so close to Columbus. There's so many Pittsburgh fans here. You think about Columbus didn't have the NHL until 2000, so the only people here became Penguins fans. That's a nasty sort of situation in our city here. I do think they feel like they are playing better now than they were at this point last season. I think the Ian Cole wrinkle is going to bring yet another layer to the rivalry. Already the closeness of Tortorella and Penguins coach Sullivan, that's just waiting to fester as a relationship. You can feel it. If you do what we do for a living, you can't wait for Pittsburgh-Columbus. I think the Blue Jackets are okay with playing Pittsburgh again. I think there's an understanding they got to get through them at some point. Why not keep trying? Mm-hmm. But I can tell you the fan base here is worried sick that it's going to end up Columbus-Pittsburgh again because they've seen that movie before.
We got Aaron Portsline from The Athletic on talking about the Blue Jackets, who are going in the right direction right now at the right time of year. Got to talk about Artemi Panarin. I mean, this guy has got sick point totals and 8 points in his last 5 games. Still hard to look back to think that Chicago made that trade, but is this one aspect that you think Columbus was missing, was that guy that can just be like, okay, guys, we need a goal. I got this.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I don't know that we have a body of work yet in big games to say that he's that guy. That's really why they got him. It was, I mean, they watched themselves play in the playoffs last year against Pittsburgh. And I know the series was over really quickly, but there were long stretches in a lot of them, probably three of those games, where Columbus was just threatening to blow Pittsburgh out of the building, at least on the shot clock, 17-1, 15-2 in shots, and Columbus is really dominating the play, can't score. And then Pittsburgh comes down, doo-doo-doo, boom, and it's 1-0. And you can just feel them fade, and Bobrovsky was not a good goaltender. The hope is that having a player like Panarin, instant offense, offense out of nothing, can be a sort of an individual creator when the play breaks down, which they don't have otherwise up front, that he can be a difference maker in that respect. He has shown that in big games so far. I'll reserve judgment until we see it in the playoffs because that's a different beast. If you remember, he's been knocked out of the first round with Chicago in each of the last 2 years. So maybe this is his time to shine. That's why he's here. They feel like he could do for them what Brandon Saad could not do for them. And so far, he's delivered.
Aaron, what's the update on Jones?
No update other than day-to-day. My sense is that they're going to hold him out until they feel like they can't hold him out, just to let that heal. It's an upper body injury. The only thing that any of us saw that would suggest an injury was he got cross-checked right at by Soderberg, right at, just after he scored the overtime game winner against Colorado, and was clearly in discomfort after that. The next game, he played two periods and left. He played a game after that, and he's not played since. I think if they were in dire straits, he would probably draw in here. But right now, they've got a ton of defensemen, extra defensemen. They added Cole. They kept Jack Johnson. Ryan Murray's now healthy. They've got plenty of depth at defense. So I think they try to ride this out as long as they can and give him more time to heal.
Looking ahead to the rest of the season, is there an area of the game that you think they have to kind of get dialed in case it is? Really doesn't matter who they play in the first round.
Well, I mean, the penultimate game of the season is Pittsburgh here at Nationwide, right?
Yep.
That's huge. They end the season against Nashville. Who knows? Nashville may dress their Milwaukee club if they're already locked down and in the playoffs. You know, no, has anyone ever said this Columbus-Florida game is huge? has anybody ever said that?
No.
But the game Thursday is
sure.
Huge.
Right.
It may be bigger for Florida than it is for Columbus, because Florida's still, you know, got all these games in hand, but they can get up over the bar with it. But yeah, it's a massive game, and you know, when you're in the situation that these teams are in, Jersey, Florida, Columbus, Philly, still kind of hanging on but not playing great. This stretch drive is just momentous, and Columbus has 8 games left to state their case.
Well, you look at their schedule, and you know, you mentioned the game on Thursday night, which is massive, not only for Columbus, because I think now they definitely want home ice advantage. Florida, of course, is battling with New Jersey for the playoffs. Then they've got St. Louis. Then they're into Edmonton next Tuesday, and they're in Calgary and Vancouver, three teams that aren't playing very well right now. And then Detroit, Pittsburgh, and Nashville. Columbus has a pretty decent schedule, all things considered. The only teams with a better record than them are their last two games of the season in Nashville and Pittsburgh. And by the time they play Pittsburgh, they might be ahead of them.
Yeah, I think that's what you worry about New Jersey. They started really well on that road trip and then have lost their last two. Now they have Pittsburgh, I think, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Their schedule is really tough, really, really tough. Philadelphia's been kind of in and out, but Florida has just been on a tear now, probably since the middle of February. You know, I think that's a trivialize a tragedy in this country, but they really have an emotional connection now after the school shooting that happened there in Parkland, similar to what Vegas did
early
in the season with the tragedy that happened there. That's a team that's riding a real emotional hi, they've got something attached to the season now beyond just themselves, which can be a powerful thing. So Florida's been the hunting team here for a while with these games in hand. They finished the season with 8 games in 12 days, which is brutal. But they're feeling it right now, and I mean, it's Thursday, it's two buzzsaws running into each other.
Aaron, as always, great to catch up with you, man. Enjoy this stretch run and into the playoffs. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, I'll see you guys soon. See you in a few days, actually.